It's a beautiful Wednesday in West Lafayette. It's better in Santa Clarita, California, where our guest Jim Wood is on his 68th birthday, but he's a young 68. And Jim, welcome to the Arnie's Birthday Zoom. You and I kind of connected last fall, and it's great to have you on.
Well, thanks for contacting me. I appreciate it.
And Jim was for those of you that may not know, was a two-year starter for under Alex Agassi, 1973-74, defensive back, strong safety and free safety both, right?
Yeah, you're right.
And I think I freaked him out because I could recall his jersey number, which was number 48, right? And as I used to always tell people, I know those jersey numbers better than I do my anniversary date, much to my wife's disdain. So that's what happens when you're in the eighth grade and you're watching somebody play like you, Jim. We'll go to the birthday traditions in your family, whether that be growing up or what you do now. What are your plans for today, if anything exciting? And I know COVID has put a tamper in about everything, but tell us how you've spent your birthdays over the years.
Well, with my family, I can't say it's a big tradition, Tim, yeah, other than we, of course, get together and whoever's birthday it is picks a restaurant we want to go to. But it does bring back some memories. You know, I actually grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, moved to the St. Louis area halfway through high school. And not that we were a poor family, but, you know, middle class, but with six kids in the family, my parents watched their spending pretty close. So we rarely went out to eat. I mean, not even to McDonald's or, you know, that type of thing. But the tradition they had, which obviously sticks in my mind after all these years, is on each child's birthday, you got to choose the restaurant, you know, that you wanted to go to, and only you and your parents went, which obviously rarely happened when you had six kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd pick places like the Lazy Susan, which was a chicken place where you could eat all you could eat, you know, that type of thing. So that brings back some memories of little practices we had in the past or traditions.
Well, you're a little bit older than I, but I think it's an interesting thing because I came from a family of five and we never went out to dinner. I mean,
you know, Shoney's Big Boy was like,
yeah, Stuckey's was ours big deal on the interstate, my dad. And so that is, we rarely did it. And maybe that's why I like to do it so much now, though in the last year, I haven't have done a lot of it, but that is that's a cool tradition. The fact that your siblings get one-on-one or one-on-two, contact with your folks is a pretty good thing and pretty worth remembering. So tell us about playing. You moved to and played to Chesterfield outside of St. Louis and played there. Was that after your sophomore year in high school? And how did that impact your football career?
Well, I played at a school in Nashville named Father Ryan, mm-hmm, a Catholic school, at least back then, you know, certainly a good sports tradition. And my dad got transferred to the west side of St. Louis, and that's how I ended up in Chesterfield. Went to Parkway Central my junior and senior year. It worked out pretty well. You know, I got there in the summer, and my dad had already met with the coach. Turned out it was a really good team. You know, the previous year, they hadn't done very well. And looking at those guys, I remember thinking, wow, what are we going to play against? You know, these guys, you know, can't win. But we ended up having two pretty successful years. And yeah, big school district. It was a lot of fun.
Tell me about you being recruited to Purdue from Bob DeMoss's staff. And how did that come about? Purdue had a pretty strong St. Louis connections, or certainly with engineering. And you were in the management school at Purdue. But tell us about how that came about.
Well, first, I didn't know anybody at Purdue. And actually, when I got there and was recruited, you know, saw a game that weekend. What was his name? George Faber?
Yeah, Faber? George Faber from Lindbergh High School.
Lindbergh High School, which was in the same conference, you know, as Parkway Central. So that gave me a little bit of a warm feeling. But I can't say I really followed Purdue. Going to Father Ryan High School, big Notre Dame, you know, supporters down there. So I'd see Purdue beat Notre Dame every once in a while late 60s. So, you know, I kind of knew of them from that. Being in St. Louis, oddly enough, a professional player, Jerry Stovall, who had gone to LSU and played for the St. Louis Cardinals, somehow took an interest in me. So I got recruited heavily by LSU. Missouri. Oddly enough, because I grew up in Tennessee, I was kind of interested in Tennessee, but sure. They weren't really recruiting me. And Dale Samuels, and you mentioned Bob DeMoss a few times, and I love Bob DeMoss, and yeah. You know, class guy, but I really love Dale Samuels. You know, yeah. Dale came into my high school, met my dad. I think they were close to the same age. My dad played basketball at St. Louis University. Somehow they had some old connection there. So he really was the person that contacted me, got me interested in the school. You know, I can tell you a few things about my trip, you know, which was very unique compared to the other schools, you know, I was recruited by. Dale hooked me up with Dave Butts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now my senior year, I mean, my sophomore year was that class's senior year.
Yeah. So Dave was heavy, right.
So he was a couple of years into Purdue already. But of course, you know, if anybody that's aware of Dave Butts, I mean, he's a large human being. And here I was at 5'11", 174 pounds or something like that when I got to Purdue. And some of the things that still stick in my mind were we went to Morris Bryant.
Yeah.
It was the night before basketball game and the place was packed. And I'm sitting there at the table with Dave Butts and two other people. And a guy walks up. Another giant, you know, type thing. And Dave stands up and they get in a conversation. Well, it turns out it was a guy named Brad Van Pelt,
Michigan State.
Yeah. He played basketball for Michigan State and they had a game the next morning.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sitting there looking at him thinking, ah, this guy must be like a D end or, you know, tight end or something like that. And then when he introduces me to him, when Dave introduces me to him, he's a safety.
Yeah.
This is where I played. I thought, well, what the hell am I getting into here? So anyway, that was fun. A little banter there. He's, you don't need to go to Purdue. You should come to Michigan State. You know, that type of thing. So that was a lot of fun. But that was impressive. The next day, you know, Purdue was the only school that showed any interest in academics when they recruited me. I had an opportunity. I don't know how this worked out, but when I went to Krannert, a guy named Tim Foley.
Oh, yeah, the great Tim Foley, defensive back.
Yeah, he played for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
So, the whole thing was just impressive. And then, you know, going to Mackey Arena and sitting down and I guess we'll call it the pit.
Yeah.
The place is packed and rocking. And, you know, I was gone, you know, basically. But interesting, I got back to St. Louis and Jerry Stovall contacted me and I don't know, a young kid, you know, could do this, but I got kind of an honest streak in me and said, you know, explain to him my interest in Tennessee. And if I played in the SEC, really, that's where I'd like to go. And he said he understood that. And like 2 days later, I got a call from Bill Battle, the head coach at Tennessee, that offered me a scholarship on the spot. Never seen me play before, just on his recommendation. But by that time, I was going to Purdue and, yeah, you know, Purdue beats Notre Dame, which I liked, and obviously great academic reputation, and just everything came together for me.
You know, you had the chance, and obviously 1974, one of the great Purdue victories in its history over Notre Dame, maybe the greatest quarter, certainly on the Mount Rushmore, or the greatest quarters in the history of Purdue football, the 24-0 lead over in your senior year against the Fighting Irish. And a 31-20 win. Tell me about that, because that was quite the upset. They were the defending national champions, had won, and were ranked second, I think, in the country at the time. And yet that was its boyhood team that you followed, Notre Dame, as did just about everybody in the country, especially guys that went to Catholic school at any point in time. Relive that experience for us.
Well, cut me off if I start rambling too much, because you know I have a few memories there. First of all, when we played them on national television my junior year at Purdue, unfortunately, we lost. But I had an experience in that game where they had a big fullback named Bullock.
Yeah.
Wayne Bullock.
Yeah.
What do you weigh like? He seemed like he weighed 300 pounds, but what do you weigh like, 240 or 245?
Yeah, he was a big guy.
You know, and I don't know, I had a pretty good reputation for tackling people. You know, when I hit them, they didn't necessarily go on their back, but they went down. Yeah. Well, we had a play in that game my junior year where he came through the middle of the line. I came up from free safety, hit him with everything I had, he bounced off of me on the film. It looked like I was a piece of popcorn or something, and just kept on going. So that stuck in my head, you know, all the way until we played in my senior year. And I'm out before the game. I was the punt returner also. Yeah. And I'm out there before the game, you know, catching punts. You know, you'll catch a few at one end of the field, then you catch a few, you know, out by half by the midfield. And I'm catching them out by midfield, and one of the guys on the team says, "My God, look at that guy." You know, and I didn't know what he's talking about. We turn around, and there's Bullock standing there. And the guy says, the Purdue player says to me, "Look at the size of his hips. Could anybody even get their hands around his hips?" And I thought, oh, great. You know, I've been worried about this guy.
It'll be your job. Yeah.
Anyway, it worked out great. And like a lot of guys on the team, I had a really good game. One other quick thing about that is, well, a couple of things. One is the night before the game, I don't know how many of the Purdue players were watching it, but there was a sportscaster on television that we're sitting in the hotel room watching. And he makes a comment about, I don't want to get into the Duke game that we blew the week before, but yeah. he gets into a thing about, at the end, he goes, "I don't even know why Alex Agassi wasted his time, you know, bringing his team up here."
Yeah.
You know, well, I don't know if that had anything to do with the way the game, you know, was played, but I'll tell you, at breakfast the next morning, there must have been some other guys that saw that, because, you know, it was a pretty focused atmosphere. And that was a fun game. Another interesting tidbit in that game is somewhere in the third quarter, you know, I'm playing free safety, and the game wasn't going on. It must have been between plays, but I get a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and the referee says to me, "Hey, is your dad's name Jim Wood?" I mean, this is the middle of the game, you know, in the middle of Notre Dame Stadium.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And turns out that he played basketball with my dad at St. Louis University.
Okay.
I said, "Well, tell your dad," whatever his name was, you know, "said hi."
Yeah.
I thought, okay. But anyway,
that is the humanity of what really goes on in these games. You think it's all blocking and tackling, and these are just people out there running around. But
coming out of the stadium after the game, I hear some guy to get on the bus. I hear some guys yelling my name, and it's like four or five guys that I went to high school with in Nashville, Father Wright, you know, that were going to Notre Dame. So it was a great day all the way around.
Yeah. And when you have an upset win like that, there's nothing quite like it. All right. Now I'm going to give you a chance to show your prop over your left shoulder there, your game ball from the Purdue Indiana game, 1974. You can point to it. Two big wins in your, that would have been your senior day, 38-17 win over Notre Dame or over Indiana in 74. You beat them down there in a tight game, 28-23, I think was the score in 73. Tell me about that and that opportunity to beat, you know, those rivalry games stick with you, and the fact that you won three out of your last four, if you look in your junior and senior years, that's pretty good.
Well, I'll give you a couple of quick ones. Sophomore year, we beat them handily at Purdue.
Right.
Of course, that was a team with, you know, Otis Armstrong and Butts and that whole crew. And I can still remember seeing Otis Armstrong. I may get the plays, you know, switched up here, but he caught a screen pass, I think it was, and went, let's say, 50 yards for a touchdown that game. And there was a penalty, and they called it back, took the penalty. And then I think he ran off tackle, and I can still see him making a little move on a defensive back, and the guy just fell on the ground, and he went another 60 yards or whatever for a touchdown. So that kind of summed him up. Junior year, that was a fun one. I actually caused a fumble late in the game, you know, and that helped us, obviously, with that win. And senior year, we just pummeled them. The thing that sticks out about senior year to me is Indiana had special jerseys made up that said, I think it said beat Purdue on their shoulder pads. And late in the game, I didn't trash talk really at all when I was there, but I was running back up the field with one of the receivers and kind of nudged him and looked at his shoulder pads, and he just threw his hands up like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. So that the, is that the start of Lee Corso? Was Lee had Lee's taken a job there? Yeah. So Corso
Yeah, sure.
there. And that that would have been vintage Lee Corso, certainly from that standpoint. All right, tell us a little bit, and as we come to a close, your professional career. Obviously, you've been out in California, you said, since 1980.
Right.
It's warmer there than it is here in Indiana, where it's about 10 degrees today. But tell us about your career and what you care to share about your family and et cetera.
Right. Well, yeah, I'd be negligent if I didn't. The reason we ended up in California is I'm married to one of the Purdue Silver Twins.
Right.
You know, from the time we were there. Her name's Randy. Randy Bruff at the time. She and her sister.
Candy and Randy, right?
Candy and Randy.
Okay.
And, you know, they're professional singers and professional actresses. And so, you know, she had opportunities here. So we moved out here and, you know, they did all types of, you know, TV and movie work, you know, primarily through the 1980s. So that's how I ended up here. Randy and I are still married, you know, after 44, 45 years, you know, whatever it is now. Have two sons, a 32-year-old. He's named after me. I'm named after my dad. He just had a baby 11 months ago, who's now the fourth. So that's pretty exciting in our family.
That is exciting.
And I have another son who actually, Purdue took a look at him as a preferred walk-on 6 years ago. He got accepted at Purdue's engineering school, but he decided he wanted to be a petroleum engineer, which we don't have there. So he went to Texas A&M and he's working as a petroleum engineer in Dallas, Texas now. So that's kind of how I got out here. I took a job when I got here with the Gillette company. A lot of people aren't aware they had divisions that were out here on the West Coast, all related to manufacturing management. Worked there for 15 plus years, managing different operations. Started my own business and ran that for another 15 years or so. And now I'm pretty much retired, other than a little consulting, you know, job I have, you know, out in Barstow, California. That kind of sums that up.
Yeah, all birthdays are good, and the opportunity, your memories of are pretty clear about your days as in the defensive backfield for the Boilermakers. All right, last question on you obviously follow Purdue and Jeff Brohm's teams. The last couple of years have been a little more of a challenge, but everything was a challenge this year with COVID. But what do you see out of when you get a chance to watch the Boilermakers play? What are you seeing?
Well, I'm not a good person to ask, because every year I'm like a typical fan. I think we're going to, you know, if not go undefeated, you know, go pretty well close to it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, a lot of years my hopes get dashed, you know, rather early in the season. But I don't really know what to say. I'm in the same spot as most people now. You know, I'm looking at, you know, some of these guys that we brought in, and, you know, the new coaches, and, you know, I'm buying in hook, line, and sinker that he knows what he's doing, and we'll get this thing turned around this coming season. So, yeah, I got no advice other than hopefully.
Well, they are going to, you know, they announced the schedule yesterday. They're going to play in Wrigley Field.
I've got some friends that have already contacted me about, hey, you know, let's get together for that. And also, what is it, Oregon State, the first game of the season? You know, I should mention before we get off of this that not to be a commercial for Purdue, but Purdue's affected my whole life. I mean, obviously, my wife, my best friend, who's still my best friend, his name's Wally Hale. Wally was an offensive tackle out of Paris, Ohio, same year as myself. Had mononucleosis and then a spinal fusion and so forth. So it never really worked out for him football-wise. But been friends with him for years. People like Bill Matthews that was on the team, you know, didn't play as much as he should have. I've got friends from, you know, Steve Asimos, Jim Russell, Mike McCamick, people that, you know, I lived with, you know, that I'm still in contact, even though I'm out here in California and you rarely see these guys. So, yeah, I really, a few years ago, my wife and I started trying to come back, you know, and participate in more games. Or seeing more games. So yeah, it was really disappointing not to have that opportunity, you know, last year, but hopefully I'll figure out a way to get some tickets if they sell any, you know, for these upcoming games and see those.
Yeah, they announced it yesterday. We're all hopeful that that will happen. And I guess we're going to have to take it one step at a time. You mentioned some great names, Jim Russell, I know well, and Dale Samuels. I'm going to make sure that you guys connect because I'll send this to Dale, and he's still doing well. He lives just outside of Milwaukee, and I hear from him a fair amount.
Real quick, when Hazel came in, my son and I, the younger one, came back. They had an event in the indoor stadium.
Yeah.
And Dale Samuels was there. Yeah. I haven't seen him or talked to him, you know, for years and years. And to show you how this man is, he must have been in his 80s.
Yeah, he's 89 now, so that's right.
So I see him over at the table, you know, sitting there with some people. I walk over with my son, and he turns around and in a blank says, "Jimmy Wood."
Yeah.
He goes, "How are you doing?" He goes, "How's your dad?"
Yeah.
And I thought, are you kidding me? Yeah. You know, I haven't talked to that man for years and years. I mean, he's a great person.
He is a great person, great family, and has.
Of course, his son was on the same freshman team that I was on.
Doug. Yep. And that is correct. So, hey, happy birthday to you. Hope you have a great day. And I'm glad we've connected again. We'll continue to do this. We'll talk in between your birthday, and we'll look forward to doing that again. But I want to thank Arnie's, our sponsor, for the Arnie's Birthday Zoom. And we look forward to the time when Jim and all Purdue football alumni can come back and enjoy what will be an interesting college football game. That's interesting about you're saying about Wrigley Field. I have a feeling, you know, you think about Wrigley Field holding about 40,000 people for football. There are going to be a lot of people doing just what you want to do. There's a lot of Purdue fans that are going to, it's Northwestern's home game. That ticket will be a tough ticket to get, but it will be a fun experience November 20th. Let's all hope it gets pulled off on November 20th, 2021 up at the Friendly Confines. So that'll be a lot of fun. So, hey, Jim, have a great birthday. Thanks so much. And enjoy that meal that you're going to get to enjoy this day. So take care.
All right. Thank you.